Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, May 28th, 2018, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 63, the last paragraph, which begins, "Next we launched out unto rigorous action," the bottom of page 63. Today's readers are Maggie A. on the 12 steps, Brandy M. on the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Elaine B., Kathleen O., and Ginger C. And our newcomer greeter will be Melanie C. The share IDs for the last two meetings, for yesterday, Sunday, May 27th, the special edition, the code is 11466, and for this morning, May 28th, 7 a.m. meeting, the code is 11467. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Maggie A. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Maggie A., recovered in Western New York. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics, to compulsive eaters, and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Maggie A. I will now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, it's Brandy M. Can I be heard?
Yes.
The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, and I will also time as well. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 63, the fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page, and I will ask Elaine B. to get us started.
Thanks so much for your service, Kathy. This is Elaine B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. Well, you know what? My food, I became convinced I was powerless over my food and that no human aid could help. I came to the place where I did believe, you know, had to redefine my definition of a higher power so that I could believe that God could and would if he were sought, because when I saw the God of my understanding before that, it wasn't enough. So I finally turned my power, my life, utterly abandoned myself, the outcome, my food, everything to God. But those were just decisions. Those three things were just decisions. If you've got three frogs sitting on a log and they all decide to jump off, how many are sitting on the log? All three of them. Those are decisions. And now this is the program of action. This is where we get started. As soon as we've taken this third step prayer, I generally have the instructions ready to start this inventory. We start reading and we do the first part of the inventory. Next, we launched out in a course of vigorous action. The decisions would have no permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort. You know, there's lots of ways to work the steps, and I've been in environments where, you know, they want you to sit and listen for a really long time. But these instructions are very clear. Once we get to the point where we can take step 3, then next and at once, we launch out on this course of vigorous action. And they otherwise they would have little or no permanent effect. And that's what I want. I want the effect that's promised from these steps, the ease and comfort I heard that you people get from God when I needed to get to my food. The food was but a symptom. And you know what? It really wasn't so much what I was eating. It was what was eating me. So I needed to, whoops, sorry for the background. And Kathy, I'm sorry, I wasn't able to time myself. So if you could let me know. It's not the food. The food is a symptom. It's what's blocking me. And this is the way with the help, the support of my higher power, of my sponsor, of these rooms, of this book, and of the promise that I hear on the line every day. This works, this works, this works if I work it. This works, this works, this works. My life can change. The decision I made was vital and crucial, and it can have a permanent effect. And that permanent effect is a life second to none and a daily reprieve from compulsive overeating. And so we got to get down to it, the causes and condition, what's eating me. And this is a beautifully laid out plan of action, a design for living that's going to help me clean it up at once. All the garbage I've been carrying around that drives me to a refrigerator is a solution, which is no solution at all, and helps me learn what to do with all the stuff that's eating me. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Kathy?
Sorry, I was fucking muted. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much, Elaine B. Thanks for your share and getting us started. And who would like to share today?
Gina R.
Los Angeles.
Sylvia S.
Okay.
Kathleen O.
Miranda.
Charles H.
Okay. Let me tell you who I heard. So far, I heard Gina R, Sylvia F, Kathleen O, and Charles H. A couple more.
Ginger C.
Lauren K from Los Angeles.
Okay, Ginger C and Lauren K, and we'll take more after that. So we'll begin with Ginger R, followed by Sylvia F. Please go ahead, Ginger.
Kathy, this is Gina R. Are you thinking
I'm
of
sorry.
Me?
Yes, I'm sorry, Gina. I mean you.
Okay, thank you. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, living in Green Valley, Arizona. And I am happy to be mixed up with Ginger anytime because it was her example that shined a light on the path for me to get here. What I wanted to touch on here is the vigorous house cleaning. The house cleaning part. And for me, all my life, I have been a neatnik. I'm that person that wants to have external order in my world. And what I have found is that was just a ruse. If I could keep my house real neat and real clean, then you might look at it and think I'm okay. And for a long time, that seemed like it worked. But what happened for me when I really set out to do this four-step the way it's designed, I found out that I look at my heart and my mind as my house. And when I'm doing the vigorous house cleaning there, I found out I had rooms where I put stuff that I didn't even realize were there. And this is not reflected in my actual house that I live in. Everything looked perfect. But inside of me, I held places, and these things were on lockdown. You would not be able to get in there and see what was in there. Submitting to this process allowed me, number one, to realize that I even had rooms like that I had stuff that I had been storing away. Some of it was conscious, some of it was unconscious. My higher power brought it to mind and to light. And when I was able to just open that door, look what was in there, and just get it on paper. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to edit it. I didn't have to do anything with it. Just get it on paper. Then I was ready to do what is going to be coming next in the fifth step. So if you're here and you're wondering, what in the world are they talking about? We're just talking about a simple process of getting some stuff down on paper. That's all. That's it. And it doesn't take long if you get busy and just do it. And so I'm really, really grateful that someone showed me how to do this and that I'm able to show other people and shine that light on the path for them and help point them back to their higher power and those dark places in their house cleaning. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Gina R. Sylvia F., please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sylvia F., recovered compulsive overeater in San Francisco Bay. So happy to be on the line with you this Monday morning, although I didn't know it was Monday when I got up this morning. So if you are a newcomer and you're just getting on the line, maybe even today, this is, you know, this talks about the beginning of acting towards a spiritual and psychic change, and that's certainly what this book is about. And so we've made a decision that our food and our life is unmanageable, and that maybe there's got to be a better way, there's something else. And so the book has taken us there, and we've been identifying in, I forgot my timer, there it is. And but it says this great line in here on page 64, liquor was but a symptom. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I came in thinking food was my problem. I knew my life was unmanageable, but food was my problem. It's saying, this is the third time now it's told us, yeah, you know, we're going to put the plug in the jug. We're going to put the food down, our alcoholic foods. And now we're going to try and figure out what the hell is going on. And so what this has to do with, and a lot of people are going to talk about this exact fourth step, which is, you know, it's not complicated. We can make it complicated, but it is not complicated. We just make a list of what's taking up space in our head. And boy, pages and pages and pages and pages of what was taken of everything that anybody had done to me, what my mother had done, you know, hadn't done, whatever. But the thing I want to say about this fourth step is that I got a lot of 10th step calls. I got a lot of calls from people in the fellowship, and I made calls in the fellowship. You know, we had a major event this past week where we lost someone in the fellowship. And this weekend, a lot of us are spending time with family. Family is a huge trigger for me. I don't know for you. I love them, but they don't always do what I want or think that they should do, or I'm in fear. And this is the beginning of seeing my part in why life wasn't working with my friends at work, in the grocery line, in traffic, at the stoplight. You know, this is the beginning of seeing my part so I have a chance to be different. And if I'm different, I do have this amazing spiritual and psychic change. I mean, that, you know, I changed my thinking and I changed my actions, and it's very small and it's very slight. But, you know, if something's happening to my husband, we're about to take off on a big trip, and I can acknowledge that he has anxiety, and I don't have to think that it is all about me, that maybe he has something going on here too. So I think that, okay, I'll wrap up. So the thing I want to say is that this is the very beginning of making life easier, and I hope you stick around for it. I pass.
Thank you, Sylvia F. Kathleen O., please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathy. This is Kathleen O., recovered in California. And happy Memorial Day, everyone. So next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action and launched, I think of this meeting, actually. Leia says, okay, we're ready, let's go. And then Kathy steps in and gets us going. And, you know, I came in and I had to admit I was powerless. I learned that I'm genetically wired, physically mandated, to keep eating once I start when it comes to flour, sugar, and fat. And knowing this, I was able to stop at times. But there was something blocking me and I couldn't stay stopped. I could not put the food down and keep it down. And so I learned I'm blocked, and what was going to unblock me? Well, a higher power and taking this first step of personal house cleaning. So I'm going to put into motion and take vigorous action to perform this house cleaning. And, you know, when I thoroughly clean my own house, it's a lot of work, but it feels really, really good at the end. And that's what this step experience was for me. And with my house, I can have someone else come and pay someone to do it. But when it comes to this, step four, no one can do it but me. And the only way I can do it is with the help of my higher power. So the bottom line is, when I decided and believed that God is more powerful, and I was able to put down the food, I was able to put down the food because I went hand in hand. I took this blind leap of faith and turned my will and my life over to my higher power. And for me, you know, that the third step prayer was really important. And I heard another one that I like even better, which is, God, I surrender. I give this to you. Take it because I don't want it, and I trust you. And so in doing that, you know, I'm able to go to this next step and have my higher power guide me in my recovery and show me how to live. And so I was able to make this strenuous effort and to face and be rid of the things which have been blocking me. And it is getting down to the causes and conditions. And there were many. And in the end, I am one of those grateful compulsive overeaters, because if I hadn't found this, my life would still be living on my own terms, and that just didn't work. And I don't really think it works for anybody. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Charles H., you're up.
Thank you, Special K, Double K, for your service, your loyal service. This is Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater. I want to launch right into this text here. Next, we launch out on a course of action on the first step of the personal house cleaning, which is the first step of a personal house cleaning. I've got a couple of analogies here. So a toothache, like I might think, and maybe eating certain foods, or maybe eating any foods, would cause me a toothache. But once I put all the food down 100%, guess what? I still got that toothache. So the toothache is a symptom, and maybe a root canal may be the solution for me. So, yeah. So I'm suffering from a toothache, but it's a deeper pain. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That pain comes back at 12:01 every single day. So I got to get down to causes and conditions. And putting the food down 100% is necessary, but it ain't going to stop the pain. So another analogy that I have, I am a super and a porter, and I'm actually talking to you from my compactor room, and it's full of garbage. And no matter how good I get this garbage out, there's going to be some residue. So that's why I have to come back Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and every single day, because there's causes and conditions every day. Now, I literally did go to the dentist and got some dental work, and however, it was painful, and just for today, the pain is gone, based on my spiritual conditioning. And with that, I'd like to pass. Thank you very much, Double K, for your service.
Thank you so much, Charles H., for your share. Ginger C., it's your turn. Thank you.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks again for your service. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Oh, wow. Look at this paragraph, these words. You know, Bill is definitely trying to get my attention. Vigorous, vital, crucial, strenuous. You know, a price must be paid. And it meant destruction of self-centeredness. And that is the root of my trouble. The selfishness, self-centeredness that we think is the root of our troubles. And it blocks off the sunlight of the spirit. And for me as an addict, the only thing to keep me safe and protected is a power greater than myself. We learned that in step one. I lack power when it comes to eating. I don't know how to stop once I start. And this morning I was looking through some old photos, and on my desk I had taken a picture. I loved the dollar store because they had the hugest candy bars and the biggest boxes of candy. The Milk Duds, the Lemon Heads, the Jujubes, you name it. Sugar Babies. I loved it, and I went there every day. That was my life. That's all I did. And then I came home and ate and ate and ate. And it's just amazing that we get to do this work. The fourth step is not to be feared. It is your friend. It is what's going to unblock you and get you down to those causes and conditions. It's not what you're eating. It's what's eating you. And I hate to say it, it always comes back to me. Selfish, self-centered Ginger. Life isn't going my way. I want people to do things in a different manner. But it's always selfish. It's always about me. And this is the miracle of this work. If you follow it exactly, precisely, these clear-cut directions, it's so simple. My mind always wants to complicate it. Just stay out of your neighborhood upstairs because it's not a happy place. That mind tells me a lot of lies, and it's always trying to kill me. So I just get busy. I get into this strenuous work, this hard work, and then my life starts to change. I start to think more about you than me. That's unbelievable. My whole life has been about me. I'm not much, but I'm all I think about, 24/7. And I get to start doing this other-centered, this God-centered work and being of maximum service if I stay close and I perform his work well each and every day. And that's why, thank God, it's just a daily reprieve, because it is a tall order. This ego is huge. It's silent and sneaky. But with God, all things are possible. And the most miraculous thing, I don't eat. I'm alive. I'm awake. I'm alert. I got to see my son graduate 2 years ago. I called 911, a suicidal call for my boy, who was in a tremendous amount of pain. And I got to meet Calamity with Serenity at that point, too, because I wasn't eating, and I was pressing into God harder than I ever had. And I wasn't making more of it. I was just trusting infinite God with everything. So there is such miracles in this room happening on this line, and I hope you can put down the food today and say, today's pain is enough. I'm done. I surrender. I give up. And with that, I pass.
Hello?
Kathy K, press star one, please.
Oh, I'm sorry again. I keep getting muted. Ginger C, thank you very much for your share. And Lorraine K, please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning. Lorraine K, anorexic bulimic compulsive overeater, mostly compulsive overeater, 24 years in the program. Thank you, Kathy, for monitoring the meeting, and thank you, everybody, who shared. The big book is my Bible, and it looks like my big book has been through hell and back again. It's so messed up looking. I like this because it says, it's one of the things in ourselves in which have been blocking us. Our liquor is but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. You know, my character defects is what comes up for me when I look at that, the things in ourselves which have been blocking us, and our resentment. Blocking us from the sunlight of the spirit is the resentment to be happy, joyous, and free. And again, I probably have done maybe 15 four steps, but I have to, you know, again, I think it's saying to me that I have to do another four step. I do a lot of 10 steps. I was once 60 pounds. I was once a 10-time-a-day bulimic. I have only been able to recover from the work I've done in AA and the OA program with you fellows and my sponsor and outside help. And I am the miracle of this program. And I believe the fourth step that I did, and don't be afraid to do the fourth step, because for me, the fourth step was just getting all of the shit out of me. And I just vomited on the page. And you know, a lot of stuff came out, and it's very freeing. It's very freeing, and it's very good, and it's nothing to be afraid of. All of the work done in this big book, you know, getting down to the causes and conditions, all of the work that we do in this big book is for the best. It's for the best so that you can have a happier life. And I'm not going to lie to you. I have my ups and downs, but the one thing I am very sure of is I don't want to stick my head in the toilet or starve myself to death. Because I've been in this program a long time, and I look at my higher power's will, and I know that I have to read resentment on a daily basis, I have to keep writing about resentment. So thank you for letting me share, and have a great day today, guys.
Thank you very much, Maroon K. Okay, who else would like to share on today's reading? Can I be heard?
Eileen F.
Okay, Eileen F, did you say?
Essence and Sam.
Okay, great. Thank you, Eileen.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Sarah W.
Sarah W. Anyone else? Okay, we'll just start with that list, and perhaps others will join in later. Eileen S., please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon, and I'm very grateful to be on the line with all of you. Wow, I'm just, I'm so grateful to be a part of this Visions meeting. It's changed my life. I've been in program for about 20 years, and I've been on Visions for a couple months, and it has changed everything for me. A course of vigorous action, a personal house cleaning, and I just completed my fifth step, and I'm into step 6 and 7, and I'm hearing some people talk about this. I'm already seeing so many amazing things happening in my life, and I'm only on step 6 and 7, and I'm not stopping, and I feel so on fire, and that's what I hear when I hear people share on this line. People are on fire about the amazingness of this. I'm just speechless sometimes, and I don't get speechless very easily. And getting down to causes and conditions, and I'm just noticing on a daily basis the things that mess me up. And, you know, I've heard some people mention driving, and I driving is definitely one of those places where I get my character defects come up, and I'm not in my very best human self. And I just had this idea, and this is what I'm experiencing. My channel is clear. The food isn't blocking me, so my channel is clear. And I had this idea, which I put on a little index card, when I stop at a stoplight, because people stop too long, that's my thing. What are you waiting for? Come on, let's go. And I wrote on a little index card that every time I'm stopped at a light or a stop sign, I'm going to think about things I'm grateful for. And that did not come from me. That came from my higher power. That came from the idea that my channel is clear and I can hear those things. And I, you know, one of the manifestations of the disease for me is I want to isolate and I don't want to go out and live life. I'm scared. I just don't want to go out and live life. And yesterday I went to an event that was so beautiful. And as I was going there, I thought, God, this is me living life. And it was wonderful. And I sat down next to a woman I did not know. And we started talking. We are in exactly the same place in our life. And I was like, and I just suddenly chose to sit next to her. And those kinds of events in my life are when I make a choice that I just made a choice to sit next to this woman. And we sat and gabbed and gabbed and gabbed. And it was like, I have a new friend instantly. And we know that. And that's because my channel is clear. The food isn't blocking me. I'm working the steps and I'm already noticing my behavior changing. And I'm looking at facing the things in myself that have been blocking me. I have a friend who's here from out of town from program, and we've had a rocky relationship, but we have repaired it. And as I'm with her and I see things that quote unquote irritate me, I get to look at my selfishness and how the way I want something to be is what gets in the way of my being loving to this person who I really, really love. And to be able to talk about that and own my stuff, I'm just so grateful, and I this is very precious to me, and I want to protect it. I want to protect it, so I do what I have to do. And there are some of you that I call and that I will continue to call. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you, Kathy, for your service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen F. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning. It's Roz G., and I'm double dipping today, so please forgive me. When I was a kid, on the fourth, on New Year's Eve, my little friends and I used to make confetti and throw it all over people's lawns. And there was this one man who kept a meticulous lawn across the street from me, beautiful dichondra. And my friends and I went and threw confetti all over the lawn. And that morning, New Year's Day, we woke up and my mother noticed him looking at the lawn with his hands on his hips. And my mother said to me, "Go face the music." And I didn't know what the hell she meant by that, but I think it meant, I better go and tell Mr. O'Leary that it was me that threw the confetti on the lawn. And little did I know, but that was a beginning of facing things that I've done either to somebody else or to myself. And I shared earlier, and I just want to repeat to myself, that I did not see my overeating and my weight gain as vital, as life or death. Because I remember the first time I took the fourth step, my dear, and I'm so grateful for, first sponsor ever, said to me, "Is this a matter of life and death to you?" And I was like, "No." And I could not relate to something like this, like weight loss being life and death. But as I have matured, and as the onion layers continue to peel, and real Roz, little girl scared Roz is out, it is, because I was a prey to misery and depression, those bedevilments. I did not want to face the music. I did not want to face those things. I just wanted to continue to put on pretty clothes and makeup and look good. But that is a road to destruction. And I did have suicidal ideation at one time in my life. Today, I do face my depression. I do face my anger. I do face my resentment, my jealousy. It's diminishing. Thanks for these steps. Thanks for the 10th step. Thanks for the people that I get to talk to and get to listen to and get to help. And as I heard earlier, get myself, my mind off me, myself, and I. Today, it's a God-centered life. I do get bouts of depression. I won't lie about that. But thank God I have tools to be able to work with it. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Sarah W., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. My name is Sarah W. I'm a compulsive overeater and very grateful to be part of this program and on the line. I guess for me, when I think back to when I first took a fourth step, it was so scary. Because to really divulge my behaviors in the past, for me, it's not just about compulsive eating. It's about behaviors. It's about the way I responded to life. And to have somebody that is able to really offer some direction and information that can help me. But I think the thing is, the fear is that if the whole step is about courage. So if the person that we're doing it with is honest and gentle and compassionate and is able to share their own, there really is nothing to fear because, you know, we're all human and nobody gets beyond that. And I was thinking to myself about a book I had read a long time ago where the gentleman talks about uncover, discover, discard, and I like to add replace. And that's what we get when we really do a thorough fourth step and share a fifth step, and then when we find what the defects are, not only do we ask God to remove them, but we have to replace them, and that's an action step. That's not just saying, you know, God, do this for me. I mean, God, only God can remove, but we can start to act as if. And I think for me, the whole program is about action. It's about really being willing to want the changes so that I can have a happy and joyous and free life. Because without that, I can't. And, you know, what is it blocking us from? You know, that's what it talks about in this paragraph. Well, it's blocking us from a relationship with not only a higher power and not only ourselves, but with others. And that's what we get. That's what we get when we really work the program honestly. Thank you for your service, Kathy, and everybody else. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah W. We have time for maybe three more shares. Who would like to share? Okay, I will take a share. This is Kathy K. And let me just set my timer here. Okay, I've really appreciated all the shares today, and I wanted to build on it, on what I heard, by suggesting the value for me of having done several fourth steps over the years I've been living according to the principles and the steps as they're outlined in the big book. 10th step certainly helped me keep myself clean and up to date and aware of my selfishness, my dishonesty, my self-seeking, and my fear, and to work with God to let go of those. But I find a periodic house cleaning of the thoroughness outlined in this step, step 4, so important. And I also wanted to clarify, for me, it took me a while to understand what are the causes and conditions we're seeking to understand. And the causes are the people and their actions that cause us to get resentful or fearful, the people, places, and things that evoke negativity in us that has to be considered and looked at and let go of and replaced, as Sarah was saying. The conditions, you know, really have to do with me and my self-esteem, my personal relations, my security, my pride, my ambition, those things that are affected or the consequences of what other people do. And that, so for me, the inventory work helps me come back to what am I responsible for, as opposed to being outwardly focused on what people, places, and things are doing to me or making me feel. So I'm really, really grateful. For me, the inventory process gave me a new set of skills with which to live on a daily basis. After, you know, a lifetime of fumbling around, doing therapy, trying so hard to let go of my anxiety and fear and depressive tendencies, and finally there were a set of skills that enabled me to do this as long as I was open to the help of a higher power. And with that, I pass. So, is there anyone else who would like to share? We have time for two more.
Hi, this is Patty T. in Southern California.
Okay, great. Let me see, Patty.
Terry H.
Terry H. Great. Thank you very much, both. Okay, Patty, go ahead, please.
Okay, hi. Thank you so much for your service, Kathy. And I just have to say, I have really learned so much listening to the shares this morning. I appreciate you all. I came back to this meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I got a sponsor through this phone line, and I've never worked a step so fast. I did my fourth step this past weekend and gave it away the same day, and I'll tell you what, it was painful. It was painful because what I discovered is that it says in this paragraph, unless it weren't followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. And, you know, I had 5 years of perfect abstinence, and then I relapsed, and the last 6 years has been spent in chronic relapse. I'll get a year or two, and then I'll relapse. I'll get 6 months, and I'll relapse, or, you know, whatever. And this fourth step that I just did, because I finally got willing, when I came back on this phone line, I finally got willing to go to any lengths, to be willing to see my part. Because what I realized in my fourth step is that for the last 6 years, and maybe for my whole life, I have been living in a story. I have been living in a swamp, dog paddling through a swamp of self-pity and self-centered fear. And you know what? I was able, you know, it wasn't pleasant, but as my sponsor and I went through the fifth step, I somehow, because of the grace of God, was able to hear it and acknowledge it and understand that this, that the food is just a symptom, that my problem, you know, is my self-centeredness. And, oh my gosh, thank you for all of you in these rooms and the people who have reached out to welcome me to this meeting and who I've been able to contact by sending my food and make outreach calls. And I'm just so grateful today. I feel like I finally have a chance at living in freedom. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty C. Terry H., please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic anorexic in North Carolina. Very rainy North Carolina today. Oh, I'm very grateful to be alive today. I just was able to enjoy a beautiful weekend of hiking, and I could never, ever do that in my disease and just have the freedom and the peace to be out in the mountains. You know, this fourth step, it says get after it. And, you know, I like when I hear the shares, you know, everybody sharing around this fourth step. And, you know, it's just a beginning. It's just a start. And, you know, all those things that were blocks that kept me from my higher power had to be cleared away. You know, things still come up, you know, blocks come up in recovery today. But now I have a plan and a way to clear them out, so that I can have connection to my higher power and to be of maximum service today. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. You know, it was scary. It was simple. It was scary, but it's so worth it. You know, for the newcomer, just get after it. Get a sponsor, work these steps, do 1, 2, 3, get to step 4, clear out, you know, get on that inventory and just, you know, just get after it. Because, you know, it's amazing, and it saved my life, and I don't regret any of it today, and I'm just really happy to be alive. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Terry H. We have time for a minute and a half share. Is there anybody who'd like to take that?
Hi, may I share?
Yes, who is this?
Hi, this is Laura H. from upstate New York.
Okay, Laura, go ahead, please. You have a minute and a half.
Okay, thanks for your service. You know, I did the fourth step out of the big book, and, you know, I've done several, and I did one a couple years ago around the death of my sister, and I stopped. I did 4, I did 5, but I did not continue with the steps, and things never got any better. Today I know I needed more information, which I got unexpectedly from another family member, and that propelled me to go back to 4 and go all the way through 9, and I finally got the relief and the freedom from the past that I was seeking. So my experience has been for me that I can't just stop at 4. Because 4 can be quite overwhelming and exhausting, but for me, I need to just keep working the steps. Thanks for your service.
Thank you, Laura, for your share. And with that, it's time to close our meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Kathleen O., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for you. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.